All right. It is the Tea Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking with Noah Brandon, who is the CEO of Unitech Training Academy here in Lafayette, Louisiana, and actually Louisiana as a whole. We're also going to be talking with him about, of course, Unitech, but For My Child Learning Center and how the companies got started, kind of the foundation story of the family and where it came from. And then, just a little bit about him. And then, of course, going into Unitech and talking about that and getting all the details. So if you're down to learn a little bit about Unitech and a little bit about Noah Brandon, stick around and enjoy the show. So before we get started, I'm going to let you know about our presenting sponsor. That is Chase Group Construction. They take the lead and become your one point of contact for the entire design build process. They have a diverse portfolio of projects that range from medical centers to popular restaurants to multi-unit shopping centers and a whole lot more. I keep mentioning my favorite project that they've done, at least one of my favorite, is the Fat Pats in Broussard and Bro Bridge. They built those great looking buildings, great local company. Check them out, chasegroupconstruction.com, and we thank them. All righty. So Noah Brandon, glad to have you back on, even though this is the first time anybody's going to be able to hear this conversation. So welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Ben. Thanks for having me.
So for those that are wondering, the reason why I say welcome back is we attempted this podcast probably about middle of last year, roughly, maybe earlier middle, and the audio didn't record for whatever reason. And then we attempted a second time, and I was swearing that everything was going to go down well. And then Noah walks into the building. He saw what I guess he considered deja vu, or like a repeat of something that happened prior. And he's like, man, I don't know if this is going to happen. I'm like, oh, no, it's going to happen. And I even shook on it. And I was missing a certain little piece that would make the audio work. And it did not happen. So this is the third attempt. And I'm glad to have you for real now. And all the audio is checked out. It's good. We're running. First, I want to go ahead and let you introduce yourself just kind of in a short manner, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I was joking about it. I can't think of a better day than Groundhog Day to do this podcast, because it just seems like it's going over and over again. But we're going to do it this time.
So
I'm excited,
yeah,
about it. Yeah. I'm the CEO of Unitech Training Academy. It's a family-run vocational college. We do job training. We have six campuses across Louisiana. We're in Lafayette, West Monroe, Houma, Alexandria, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. We also have our Unitech Online campus that services Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. And so we have For My Child Learning Center. So that's early learning centers that we have in Lafayette and Alexandria as well. And we have our home office in Lafayette that's mainly comprised of support staff and administration that services the entire operation. So,
yeah,
a lot of moving parts for us. We have approximately 230 employees at any given time. We have 1,200 students. You know, they're graduating with regularity. They're enrolling with regularity. So it's a lot of out and in. And we have about 140 children at the early learning centers.
So 140, that's a good bit.
Yeah, between the two centers.
Yeah, really, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. All right. So I know that your mom, Dina Head, was the original founder of Unitech. And last time when you came on, we had a whole conversation, like a whole 45 minutes to an hour conversation about the origin story and how the company got started. And nobody heard it. We heard it. We were talking. And I really appreciate the time. Obviously, it was good to speak with you on that. But there was some good stuff in there that I think may be valuable to people to hear. You guys grew up in North Louisiana, right?
Yeah, well, I claim Lafayette. We moved here when I was nine.
Okay.
And so, you know, fourth grade, Green D. Linden, and You know, up from there, Youngsville Middle, Como High.
And okay,
so,
yeah.
I claim Lafayette, but yeah, our origin story started in North Louisiana. And, you know, I love any time I get a chance to talk about Mom. She is
a force.
An incredibly impressive individual. You know, very humble origins. You know, I can go ahead and get into the whole story if you'd like, in terms of just talking about the background and some of the obstacles that Mom had to overcome.
So that's definitely a what we want to know is, and I know some good nuggets of it, but to kind of help prompt that, obviously, I guess people want to know is how the company got started, because Unitech didn't exist, you know, what, 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
So at what point did Unitech become a thing? I mean, you guys were a family living in North Louisiana. Obviously, you were around 9 whenever you moved to Lafayette. So you claim Lafayette, and I appreciate that you claim Lafayette. But what happened, I guess, that got you down to Lafayette? Like, kind of building up on that, what was your mom doing before Unitech became a thing? Like, what was her work? Like, why does she feel led to start Unitech?
Yeah, so there are a lot of components to it, and I'd love to just tell Mom's story. So Mom was married to my father, and he was a very troubled person. He had issues with alcohol. You know, he was just a tough person, tough person to know, if you will, right? Not the healthiest of environments growing up in, but, you know, Mom tried to make it work. He would leave at times, come back. He was drunk. He was abusive. And just a real negative environment. We would leave at times, stay at a hotel, come back, and just a very toxic environment, not great. And I can only imagine now, just as a parent myself, thinking about the stress that you would be living in, understanding what your child, you know, has to live in every day.
Yeah.
Not only just living in it, but also just your child's growing up in that. So,
I don't know if you mentioned this word, but if you don't mind me asking, was it an abusive relationship between you and your father and your mom and him? Like,
right,
you say toxic.
Yeah, well, he was very much a self-centered person, right? He was he wasn't physically abusive towards me, so I can, you know, I'll say that, which is good. He did get in scraps with, you know, with Mom when he would drink. You know, he would throw things, be abusive. He'd, you know, turn music all the way up, you know, when I was asleep, and just, you know, and fighting, you know, just it was.
And this all happened usually in the drinking sessions.
Yeah, I mean, this guy would kill like at least a half a bottle of Crown a day, you know, at least, you know. Jeez. Sometimes more. He was on it, man. And but it was just it was bad. He didn't want to accept responsibility. I think he was very unhappy with his life. He was not where he wanted to be. Things didn't work out the way he wanted to, and he was just not a very healthy individual, you know. And so, you know, finally we got real bad one night. Mom said, "We're out of here. You know, we're gone."
It had to get real bad. I mean, obviously, multiple things led up to that event, but
yeah. And you know, Mom always did her best to try to shield me from it, and you know, do all that. She was trying to
being a good mom.
Yeah, excellent mom. You know, always trying to work through it. But you know, finally got to a point where she's like, "This is we're done here, right?" And so one night we just packed like a bag each, and we left. And they had a joint bank account. He emptied that out real fast. Went through the divorce process, and we were really homeless. We had no place to stay. So there were months where we were literally bouncing in hotels, sleeping on family members' couches, sleeping in the car. I mean, we literally did not have a place. And
how old were you around that time?
7.
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
that's crazy, because my little boy is 7, and I could not imagine having that environment for him. Like, he cries. He's a very sensitive little boy.
Yeah.
He cries for certain things, and obviously my wife and I will have our own little spats, and they're really short, and usually it's a lot of my fault being a man. I do things that just annoy the crap out of her. But, you know, there are times when we do get in our little spat that he'll cry, and usually it's not necessarily for one reason or another, and just some things that were said, and you know, we'll have to like take a deep breath and be like, okay, Bennett, we're sorry. We apologize and we give him the hugs and we make sure to let him know kind of what happened and he gets it. But yeah, I couldn't imagine anything crazy more than that.
Well, I think there are a lot of generational parenting techniques that are different these days, and going through it. But even back then, that was just a toxic environment, right? You know, when you're seven, you're going through it, you don't really grasp, you know, everything that's happening, right? I think that I was never that close with him. So leaving
wasn't hard.
Didn't affect me as much. You know, for me, I have a 9-year-old daughter, so it's hard for me to imagine.
Separating.
That level of detachment from your child. But either way, you know, I think that for me it was, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough to articulate how, I'm not going to say I was unaffected by it at the time, but I just didn't have a great appreciation for what was going on.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think about it now more from my mom's perspective of how hard it must have been for her. Because, you know, the first place we did find was a old mobile home that was not in the best part of town and didn't have any heat, didn't have any of those things. You know, I had like a box of cereal that I would eat on for days at a time. Mom was getting scraps at work, you know, just trying to get by. We turned the oven on for heat, you know, and it was, you know, under like 3 or 4 blankets.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a tough existence, I would say. And we gradually moved up to a better mobile home, and then a better mobile home, and then an apartment. And you know, just mom was always trying to get us in a more secure environment as she went along. And during this time, she was an LPN at first, and then she went on to be a teacher at a career college. And she moved up to be the director of education at a career college in Monroe, you know, teaching vocational education, supervising.
And this all happened within like 2 or 3 years?
Well, that was all happening during that time.
Okay, all together, yeah, throughout the sessions right. with the dad and all that before the separation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, exactly right. But, you know, we moved out and, you know, of course, couldn't just let it lie. He was kind of stalking her and being just, again, just the abusive behavior. So mom is just, again, she's a, she tolerated as long as she could. She went through it. But then she said, okay, I'm not going to have this life. And she went and applied and got accepted and became a deputy sheriff for Ouachita Parish.
Oh, nice.
And so he stopped after that, right? And she became a cop. And she worked in the Ouachita Parish Sheriff's Department for few years, and again, we got some stability over that, you know, through that time, through that process. But, you know, again, just the family environment and everything was just it's tough. So fast forward a bit, we got out of North Louisiana and moved to Lafayette.
So I know you want to fast forward a little bit. I want to back up just a hair.
Okay, great.
You mentioned your mom became director. At a career college?
A director of education. She was in director charge of the education process while she was there, yeah.
And that was before you guys moved, and then she became a deputy.
Yeah, deputy sheriff, right.
So was that around the same time, or like was she a director of education before or after the deputy?
Yeah, so she was director of education, you know, while she was with my father.
Okay.
And, you know, a little bit after that. But
again, and then became the deputy.
It just kept going. It was like, all right, so she had a good about 2-year run as a deputy sheriff, you know, before we just moved to Lafayette.
So what sparked the need to bail out of North Louisiana? Obviously, there's stalking going on and all that, some bad stuff. I'm assuming part of that is the reason, but, like, why Lafayette?
Yeah, so, well, my dad wanted a, you know, he wanted a blood test to prove that I wasn't his kid so we didn't have to pay child support. Oh, like, there was no relationship there, right? Wasn't paying child support. There was no, like, real connection to keep me close to him because he wasn't interested. My mom went on a conference in Lafayette, and she ended up meeting what was then in the future to become my stepdad. And so he lived in Baton Rouge at the time. And so they picked a middle, you know, there was nothing really going on
yeah.
for our family in North Louisiana, right? And so it's an opportunity to really just kind of get a fresh start somewhere new. You know, they had a kindling relationship at the time. And so, pick Lafayette, because that's just where they met. You know, he spent a lot of time there for work. And so, you know, we got a rent house. And at that time, she started, she wanted to start a uniform, a scrub suit uniform business, right, where she would sell scrub suits. It's actually where she set up shop was it's where the Flats is now.
Downtown. Wow.
So that was
a while back.
Yeah. And so she would sell the uniforms. But at the time, just a few months in, Lafayette started this beautification project downtown where they put all these pavers on the sidewalks, all these bricks. And so they had to tear up all the sidewalks, which killed any kind of walking traffic for all the local businesses, which was really hard, right? And you're trying to get started. So we took our show on the road, and she was, I was with her putting flyers under windshield wipers.
So selling out of a trunk?
Yeah.
Essentially?
Listen, man, I was just hustling, man. She had to try to make it.
That's good.
She had a kid to feed. And so, and so we were out just handing out flyers, letting people know where she was, what she offered. And she was familiar with career colleges, vocational schools, because she had worked at one. And so she would go and say, hey, your students are going to go work in the medical field. I sell scrub suits. Can I tell them that they can come shop with me? And you know, they would say, yeah, sure. Just wait till the teachers are done, then you can go make an announcement. So she goes sit in the back of class, and, you know, mom was sitting there, and she would say, well, you know, I could do better than this, you know, just listening to him teach and just thinking, like, I think there's opportunity for some improvement here in Lafayette, you know, on how we're doing some teaching. And so. So
she, while like literally hustling scrubs, was deciding, okay, I can do better on the teaching of, you know, job training and all that. Like,
she saw the opportunity to add some value.
Yeah.
And so she, put a lot of time into it and started working through the process of becoming a school. And she started with one program in 1997. And again, you know, you got to think about being a woman business owner, and the environment is tough enough. But in the 90s, it was a challenge, right? So there's just that barrier that she had to overcome when going through all that. So, yeah, she started with one program at the time, a CNA program. But she still... So she moved to a 1,600 square foot building on Johnson Street. And that was the original Unitech. It had one classroom, one little makeshift lab. And on the other side, there were the scrub suits that she was still selling. And so, so the technical school and still selling uniforms, Unitech was born, right? And she went and negotiated her rent with the building owner to have a deferred payment when she got started. She went to the Salvation Army, got some equipment. You know, she negotiated everything just to try to get it going. And it was very slow launch, right? Because it's a new thing. You don't have much of a marketing budget at all. You're really just grinding.
Yeah.
And so it gradually built up from there. And in 2003, she was able to get accreditation, which means that you have a governing agency that's approved by the Department of Education federally, that oversees our operation, make sure that we're in compliance with rules, that we're doing everything the right way. And because of that, we were able to participate in the student loan and grant program. So students were able to better finance their education, which allowed us to be able to get some more students in and progressively grow the operation.
Okay. Well, I want to dive in a little bit into that in just a bit. I do have my sponsors that I want to mention. So it's that time to cash in, essentially, our part of our partnership with our sponsors. So you already have heard about this sponsor before, but they are a sponsor continuously, and they support us nonstop. And I really appreciate that. It is the Music Academy of Acadiana. Really great school. They have tons and tons of students of all ages, young, old, experienced, inexperienced. And they even, you know, different music talents, like, you know, with instruments and like piano, guitar, and even people with a really great voice and those that want to learn drums and violin and saxophone, all those fancy instruments. And then they also teach audio production. So it's a really great school, locally founded by Tim Benson, who is a UL Lafayette Music School graduate and also a member of the Criers, which is an emo cover band. So if you've never heard of that, check them out. They're local local music company, local band. Like I said, I can't say anything more nice about this place. I really appreciate their sponsorship. Check them out at musicacademyacadiana.com. Ultimately, their goal is to make music lessons fun, educational, and to help foster the next generation of musicians and creative thinkers. And you have their website on the screen. Again, it's musicacademyacadiana.com. And then we also have the Electronic Protection Systems. They've been around for over 20 years. They recently expanded to Houston, Texas. They specialize in home security or smart home security systems and also whole home water systems. So whenever we bought a house in 2022, we were trying to, you know, obviously get all of our services transferred, internet, electricity, all that good stuff. And then I guess in the middle of all of that, the sales guy pulls up and was like, "Hey, I sell security systems and I'm a part of electronic protection systems." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I've seen your sign." And it's the little octagon sign with the EPS. And it's like, sometimes it's a little hard to read because the letters are smaller, but I've seen them, multiple businesses. And I was like, "Yeah, we actually have a home security system already, but I don't know if I want to keep it." It was one of the national companies. And I'm like, you know, maybe if you guys are less expensive, I'll check you out. Thankfully, they were less expensive. And also, in my opinion, they have better equipment. One of the things I love about their equipment is I have a hard drive, a whole security hard drive in my house that records video for 2 weeks at a time. Like it keeps it for 2 weeks. So if there's ever anything that happens when I'm not there, whether it's motion detected or not, like I can go back and watch it and see what happens. And they helped me out. Obviously they have like zero down payment, no out of pocket expenses. You can get the equipment through them and you'll own the equipment, which is really cool once it's all said and done. And then you'll just pay for the monitoring services, which are really cheap. It's like, I think $20 a month. And also whole home water system. So if you got smelly water or water that tastes a little funky, or if you got hard water or sediment that's in your water, sometimes, you know, when you take a bath, you can see that those brown little flakes, that is sediment. Not really cool. So this whole home water system filters all that out for you, makes your water smell nice and taste nice, and also removes the hard water and chlorine. So when you take a shower, it feels like you have almost like a lotion of water on you. It's so weird. If you've never experienced soft water, so essentially what it is, it's different. It's a different animal because you don't feel like when you first get a shower with it, you feel like you can't get dry because the water is just silky, and hard water tends to not want to stick to your skin. I don't know. It's different. Your skin feels better. My skin has been super dry before that, and now my skin is like nice and, I don't want to say supple, but I got some dry skin areas that have gotten a lot better over the past few months. I was a customer before they was a sponsor, so check them out. Their website is eps-online.com. And we also have a referral link, and I'll put that on the screen real quick. It is link.developinglafayette.com/EPS. Check them out, and we really appreciate them. And we will get back to the conversation with Noah Brandon. All right, so we were on the part where the Unitech was in its infancy. You guys really didn't have a marketing budget. You guys just got accredited. So kind of picking up where we left off, tell me a little bit, like, what did your mom do to really get the ball moving for Unitech? And was Unitech the name of it originally?
Yeah, like I said, whenever she started the school, she was still selling the scrub suits at the time. So, yeah. Again, it's just, for her, it was like, all right, we're doing technical school, we're selling uniforms, we're going to call it Unitech, you know, and that's kind of the branch. And it grew from there, not selling the scrub suits anymore, right? But, you know, that's a, you know, it's a fun little story. And, you know, it created some more stability for us. You know, she was a grinder. She went and worked with state agencies, local agencies, the local Workforce Investment and Opportunity Act office, WIOA. she was able to go make some relationships there, help students get some funding, just local financing places, you know, really trying to work to help our students be able to get grants, get scholarships, get financing to be able to come to school prior to being accredited, you know, because and so, you know, she really hustled, and she was the teacher, she was admissions, she was career services. I mean, she kind of did it all. She was working, you know, and we really finally found stability. You know, for me, I think going back, I went to 8 different schools before high school, just always moving around. And so I think that's something that is I appreciate my mom's struggle and what she went through and how stressful it must have been for her. And, you know, with my child, I work so hard to give her stability, you know, make sure that, you know, she's been in one school since pre-K 3 and, you know, God willing, she's going to stay in that system, just going up and going to have that stability of having a good foundation. And so, you know, it's moving forward of, you know, she started the process of breaking generational curses, problems. I'm trying to carry that forward and make it better. And hopefully, you know, my daughter has her children. It's even better.
So how old were you when your mom founded Unitech?
I was 11.
Dude, your mom moves so fast. Yeah. I feel like this is like 20 years in the making, but it was just, she was a true grinder, like you said.
It was moving, man. Like I said, we were moving around like it seemed like once a year we were moving somewhere else, doing something, just getting more and more acclimated. Sometimes it was mid-year we were moving. It's just, she was determined to get us in a better position in life as quickly as she could, and she was grinding. And it came with some, you know, health issues. I mean, she's it's stressful. It was tough. I mean, she had a heart attack at 38, which, you know, I'm 38 now, so you know, it's like,
dude, I'm almost 30. I'll be 38 in February 6th.
Well, I turned 38 last week or a week and a half ago. So, I mean, it's literally.
Yeah. You just had a birthday. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's scary.
But, I mean, it becomes real. I mean, she started Unitech, I think, when she was 37. So, you know, it's all right at this point. I'm at that age now where she was when she was starting her journey and doing that. I just have a much higher launching off point, which I'm, you know, thankful for. You know,
You didn't have to start off on the beginning of trying to get people to know what you're doing. Right. First of all, let me tell you, if you guys listening or watching have ever even attempted to start a business, you already know that the hardest part is letting people know about your business.
Right.
Because at first, you got to tell your friends and family. And while we all love our friends and family, sometimes those people are the hardest people to I guess, make happy. Because you'll tell them, hey, I'm starting this thing. And they're going to be like, usually, oh, you're starting another thing or you're doing something else. I know, at least from my experience, like, I have my hands on a lot of stuff, and, you know, I'll get like, oh, you're doing another thing? I'm like, trying, figuring out what's sticking, and, like, I like doing different things. I'm just, I don't know. I can't just not do one thing. So
seems like that's human nature, though, right?
Yeah.
It's, sometimes you have to go out of your home to get the proper appreciation. Sometimes you have to go out of your city, out of your state to get the appreciation. I know that it's the effect of, like, local artists sometimes. You know, we'll go, we have some amazing artists that come from Lafayette, and they go out and they are celebrated nationally, and they are just so revered. And we just kind of take it for granted that, like, oh, yeah, it's their work. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, sometimes it's just because you're more familiar. You know them. Yeah, you know, it's just like my daughter, you know, she loves me and looks up to me, but I know, like, as just dad. Anything I accomplish, she's like, okay, great, cool, you know, whatever. You know, it's like your dad. Like,
you're just dad.
Like, I know your bad habits. I'm not that impressed with you. Like, okay,
yeah, I know. A lot of people in the community, I'm pretty sure, look at you and like, oh, he's the CEO. Anytime you have a CEO in the name, people are like, oh, what company? And then everybody knows Unitech at this point.
We're trying. Yeah.
I feel like it. I moved to Lafayette in 2010. And I think I knew of Unitech even before I moved here because your mom was always on TV.
Yeah.
There was a good stint, probably about 5 years, where every single commercial or every other commercial on, I don't know if it was KLFY, whatever KDC channels that we had it on, your mom was on the commercial.
Yeah, well, it's important to let people know, right? I mean, when people are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life and they're trying to research schools, it's important that they know that we're an option, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have As I tell people, when it comes to the local four-year college, you know, we don't have Greek life. We don't have a football team, a baseball team. We don't have multi-generational. My grandpa went to Unitech, and my parents went to Unitech. Most people will find out about us when they start doing their search. Hey, I want to be in the medical field, or I want to be in IT. Let me Google some schools, and then they'll find out about us, right? So we need to let people know we exist. We need to let them know who we are, because nobody's growing up with a Unitech poster in their room, you know, right. like they are with like LSU or some of these, you know, UL, some of these other places. And so, you know, it's important for us to be able to let people know we're out there.
Yeah, like you said, to your point, you don't have that, I'll call it a cult kind of following. People wear LSU who are probably some of the least educated people out there, but they wear LSU because I'm not saying LSU is least educated. I'm saying there are people out there that wear LSU that are some of the least in any college, but they wear the college because they identify with either the sport or whatever the college represents. And so you guys are more education based only. So you have less of that cultish following.
We're job training, right? Yeah. I mean, you're not coming here for any student life or you know, that kind of thing, which, again, we try to make sure we give a good experience to our students, but you're coming here to learn about, you know, how to be a pharmacy technician. You know, you're coming here to learn how to do coding. You're learning how to do job-related stuff.
Functions, right?
You're learning how to do frontline work to be able to help you get into a career as quickly as possible. And so it's just, we're not the same, you know, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
I'm a huge advocate for all of higher education at every level. You know, we play into that in our spot, right? It's not like there's no competition there. You know, it comes from the fact of we're trying to fulfill our space really well and what we do. And yeah, I mean, back to your point of the title of CEO, again, like, I give all the credit in the world to Mom. You know, again, I'm here because of all of her hard work. Mm-hmm. I've grown up in it. Again, my first job was yard boy, you know, and I've grown up and I've had every job within this organization. I know it inside and out, which I think is great. I don't want to be the second generation that destroys the company. I want to be the one to advance it and make it better and push it forward, really secure her legacy, you know, but also build mine, you know, and it really is truly a family run company. You know, mm-hmm. I think that I'm fortunate, you know, having a family. Anybody that's in a family run business or family run operation will tell you there's a lot of pros and cons to it.
Right.
There is no, we're going to talk about work. We're going to talk about family. It's all one big interweaved conversation all the time where we're talking about staffing issues, and then we'll talk about you know, grandkids, and we'll talk about family vacations, then we're back to programs, and then we're like, it's just one big flow of a conversation.
So if you don't mind me asking, what is Dina Head doing now?
Yeah, so she's retired. She has a new venture that she has that she's been working on, the Bridgepoint Farms. You might know they have the drive-through light display for Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, so that's Mom's. You know, she's put a lot of work into that. I'm not going to call it a rescue sanctuary, but she keeps bringing in these animals. So she has some miniature horses, some donkeys, some goats, some peacocks. She's staying and getting this thing. And so it's a cool big space that she's put a lot of effort into. And it's beautiful out there. It's down Johnson Street going towards Maurice. It's in this small part that is unincorporated area, but it's still Lafayette before you get. So it's not in the city of Lafayette. It's in the parish of Lafayette. But it's not in Maurice. It's in that little slither of land. And so it's 28 acres out there. She has five ponds out there. It's an Airbnb rental, big building, a lot of green space. So it's a terrific place, you know, to be able to go out and just fish or explore. It's stocked. And so it's a cool little thing that she has going on out there. And she's enjoying being a grandma.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm guessing she's – it sounds like she's taking it easy.
Well, she is, and she's deserved it. You know, she's worked hard, and, you know, I take pride in that as a son, too, to let her have that retirement so she can, you know, enjoy. She's had a really hard life growing up. You know, her childhood was really, really hard, and her early adult life was really, really hard.
Yeah.
Honestly, her middle adult life was really, really hard. So
a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, being able to have her be happy, be relaxed, not have to have the stress, to me as a son, that's really important.
Yeah. So I'm guessing, obviously, your mom and them talk all the time, I'm sure, and especially conversations like you mentioned around the table probably consist of some Unitech and other stuff like that. Do you believe your mom is happy and proud of where the company is and where you're taking it?
Yes. I think this is as happy as she has been in life, you know, and where she's at. And, you know, she always gives me we'll call them performance reviews, you know.
She gives you an evaluation.
Yeah, I can't believe you're doing this, you know. I don't know if you should do that. And I said, all right, Mom, I got you. I understand. You know, it's just part of she started it. It's her baby. She loves it. And, you know, even though she loves, I don't think she would trust anybody else to lead Unitech other than me. But it doesn't stop her from, like, giving me her thoughts and going through that. And I do welcome those, you know. But, again, it's like anything else. We have disagreements. I mean, I have thoughts on where I think Unitech should be. She has thoughts, and we talk through them. But it's a family thing. I mean, that's not uncommon. Yeah, it's not uncommon even with a business partner or anybody else. I mean, you're going to talk through decisions, talk about why, go through things, but it's very positive, you know, overall. It's just you know, it's funny, sometimes we'll get like animated and we'll pursue our position,
you know,
ultimately it's, you know, if it's something that she feels passionate about, we'll do it, you know. But it's something that I think that I think I can win, I'm going to try to win it.
So we're getting close to about the mark where I want to start kind of landing the plane, I call it. So kind of in a short sense, tell me the bulk of what Unitech offers, what type of training. Obviously, you mentioned some parts of it, but like what are the courses that people can expect? What is the lifetime of that course? Like what's the length of time that they would be involved? What does financing look like? Kind of give us a rundown of Unitech as a whole, just in a bullet point sense.
I'm going to do my best to not get too in the weeds with it, because I can talk for hours. So we have a lot of medical programs. Mom was in the medical field, and so she wrote a lot of our original programs, and they've been refined to keep up with current practices, but we were medical heavy. What I'm working on now is not diversifying us away from medical. I love our programs. They're strong. They're good. But diversifying into other areas where the needs are. We want to be where the need is in each community we serve.
So this includes beyond medical.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have early childhood. And we have that. It also works hand-in-hand with our early childhood centers. Yeah. So we have functioning educational lab centers where our students learn in class, and then they go into the centers and actually do hands-on learning and work with the students. And everybody that brings their children to For My Child understands the setup. And so it's an academic area. And so we are a Tier 4 center, and which is I'm proud of. It goes from 1 to 5. If you're going to be a 5, and you're just...
Well,
they don't give out fives, right? You have to be so good. There are very few.
So you guys are a 4.
Mm-hmm.
In your knowledge of the company and the space, what are you missing that stops you from getting a 5?
Well, we're on our path, right? I think when we first started, we were like our year 1. I think we were a 2-star center. Well, we literally just got into it. And from there, we built ourselves up. We're on our path, you know, to try to get to be the best that we possibly can be. But there's a lot of elements that play into it in terms of investment, cost, working through there. We'd like to be, but when I tell you, it's such a high bar to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we're striving to get there. You know, we're happy that we're on our journey with there. 4 puts us among the best in the area.
Right.
And so I'm excited about that. And students are getting a really good quality education for if you're going to come through our program, work through there, and get your ancillary teaching certificate at the end of your program. allows you to go work in any other early learning center, you know, with those credentials, which we're excited about that. But we also have IT programs that we've started, you know, moving forward and diversifying a bit. So we have a coding and scripting program, which we just launched, and that's with Unitech Online. We also have our IT support specialist program, and that includes a lot of different fields or a lot of different areas within the field of, you know, it's an A, you learn A+, networking, security, Azure. So it allows you to be able to have a good general knowledge to be able to go work in for a lot of companies, not just an IT company, but you can go work in the IT department in companies.
Okay. What about fiber optics? Do you guys have any working in that? Because I know I read something recently locally that the fiber optics field needs technicians.
Right.
So is that something you guys are in or looking into?
I've looked into it. I am interested in it. But, you know, SLCC has that program.
Right,
you know,
right.
And for us, we might bring that we would be interested in maybe bringing a program like that to a community that we have a campus in that maybe doesn't have a feeder with that. Because for us, there's really three elements that allow us to bring a program or maintain a program. There has to be a demand for enrollment. People need to want to do it, whatever it is. There could be a lot of job openings, but if nobody wants to do it, you know, that's a problem for us being able to run a program. There has to be a demand for employment, right? So once they graduate, there has to be enough jobs for them to go work in. And it has to meet affordability, right? Whatever we do, we don't need to make a ton of money on it, but we need to not lose money, right? That's just not a healthy part of an operation to have anything in which you're just losing money on. So for that, what I worry about is if we already have other schools in the community teaching it and we're putting out graduates, am I going to saturate the field and now our students don't have a place to work after year two or year three? Because I think year one, no problem, probably be fine. But, you know, if they're staying in these roles and these fiber optic projects are going to, you know, it could be a good 5-year outlook.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're getting staffed, after that, what do they do? Where are we at? We're trying to create and offer programs that cover each one of those elements, but also allow for some longevity in what we do. And so I'm not fully vetted on the program. You know, I mean, I still think, but those are the considerations we take into play that, you know, if we have another institution that's offering it, you know, how many, because if there are, let's say, 30 jobs available in the community, right, and I'm putting out 20 graduates a year, okay, well, after year two, what gives?
You know, mm-hmm.
Is this a high turnover position where there's still going to be a need, or are they lifers where they just kind of stay? And different industries and different sectors, they all kind of look different. There are some where, you know, you're going to work in a field for 4 years and you're going to go do something else because it's kind of a burnout position, which means there's always going to be a job opening. There are other ones where, you know, other fields where people that get in this field, they just stay there, right? And it really limits, and we had to do that with our dental assistant program in West Monroe. Great program, good enrollment. Students wanted it. Program covered cost. It was fine, but there's only so many dental offices in Ouachita Parish, you know. And the dental assistants don't leave, man. Once they get in that field, that's why they stay there. And so, after year four, it becomes harder and harder to get them employed. And so we have to pull the program because we don't want them coming here and don't have an outlook on where to work.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I forgot the original question, right?
No, that thing is good. So another point that I wanted to ask you is financing, like, mm-hmm. And also length of time. Like, what's the expected length of time, you know, for most classes, and what's financing look like for people if they're interested in getting involved with Unitech?
So it ranges. We have a lot of our core programs scheduled to be around 9 months, you know, assuming you pass all your classes, you don't have to retake anything. You should be able to graduate within 9 months. Some are shorter than that. I know we're looking at going into even shorter continuing education unit type course offerings for the community.
Shorter than 9 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it depends on what we're teaching, right? It could be that we're just teaching a credentialing course, right? That could be a few weeks. It doesn't need to be. There are differences in what we can offer in terms of sometimes people just need to learn one thing and get a credential, and that helps them move up in their career or it makes them more marketable. You know, just being able to take some of these community enhancement classes that lead to some sort of credential. And so they all look differently. But when it comes to financing, There are different options. Obviously, somebody can pay out of pocket if they want to. We do allow for students to pay throughout the course of their program. So
also installments and stuff.
Yeah. And that's interest free. We don't charge interest on that. So if they want to take chunks and pay monthly, they can do that. We obviously are, since we are accredited, we're able to participate in a grants and loans program, a Title IV program. So those are options for students. We're also eligible for MJ Foster funds, which is a grant that the state of Louisiana enacted 2 years ago. That's funded at $10.5 million for adult learners over the age of 21 that want career and technical education. And so they can use that at community colleges in the state. They can use that at two-year universities in the state, or they can use that at approved proprietary schools like us that has federal accreditation.
Nice.
And so, and that's been great. It's been a terrific program. I'm a huge advocate for helping our students graduate with as quickly as they can with proper education and credentials and to graduate with as little debt as possible. And so that is what we strive to do and we work towards. College is expensive, and we're doing everything we can to try to help set our students up post-graduation for the most success as possible while still running a quality operation.
Because that's what I hear that a lot with new college graduates is that they get out of college and, you know, there's so many different degrees, so many different fields of study that they get out of college and they really have a hard time figuring out where they fit and where their degree aligns with the industries that exist in Lafayette Parish or the South Louisiana area. And a lot of them say, like, I'm in, like, an insane amount of debt.
Right.
For this degree that I have, it's a pretty piece of paper, but I don't have the job that goes along with the degree, and then they end up working at a job that, you know, not everyone, but they end up working at a job that their degree has nothing to do with, and then their degree collects dust essentially, and they're still paying on the student debt. But I guess there's so many different factors in that.
It's a big national discussion. You know, it's not Louisiana citizens are not the only ones that's facing this issue. It's a national, you know, thing where, okay, college is increasingly expensive. What's the value exchange on this? What's the return on investment? What am I getting for this? And, you know, I think that it really has sparked a lot of questions from students coming into college now. I think we have a lot more savvy students coming in and asking better questions, making sure that they are set up for success and how they, you know, any kind of loans or grants that they may qualify for, scholarships. But am I going to be in debt? What's that debt going to look like? What is my expected earnings at, you know, once I graduate? And being able to just talk to them, be straightforward on, hey,
yeah,
this is what you're going to owe. This is what it's likely going to look like whenever you graduate. You know, if you have a monthly repayment of $60, you know, how does that factor in? You know, depending on whatever the number is, right?
Yeah.
It's all individual based off of what your current financial situation is, based off of what you would qualify for in terms of grants or loans. But for us, we want to make sure we're leading with trying to help our students access as much grant money, scholarship money as possible so that whenever they graduate, they have the least amount of debt possible for them, because that sets them up for success more. You know, if they have credentialed and they're working, that's all good and well, but we want to help them maximize their lives post-Unitech, and that comes with trying to limit their debt. So if we, and again, we even talk about the out-of-pocket where it might be tough monthly, but whatever you pay now, that's less debt you're going to graduate with. So it's better to really work through it now so we can set you up for the most success possible at the end.
I love it, man. I think it's a great organization, great company, and obviously you're leading it in the right direction. And if your mom says you are, I believe it. So, because she made it to where it is before you became CEO, and you're taking it and bringing it into the future. And I appreciate, of course, you taking the time out, coming to talk about it again, and telling me. I think now that we had an original conversation that nobody heard, and now they're hearing it for the first time, I felt like there were things that I knew. And I guess I can kind of define a better flow of the conversation. So, but yeah, I'm thankful that you were able to come back on and talk about Unitech and the story that led up to its creation. Is there anything that we did not mention that you want to mention before we head out?
I think we covered again, I can talk about
anything all day long,
right? So, thank you for having me. I'm always happy to come talk about mom's story, happy to talk about Unitech. Happy to do it a fourth time, you know, if you ever want to do it in the future, you know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what that looks like for you in the future. And if there's some new developments, and let's say you, for whatever reason, do some major, major changes, and that's something worth talking about, I guess we'll revisit that. But we definitely don't need to redo this conversation, because I could definitely tell you that the audio is good. The conversation has been good. I'll quickly let you guys know before we close out, the website is Unitech
TA.
UnitechTA.edu. Yep. I had to make sure. I was like, did I put an A by accident?
No, UnitechTA.
.edu. So check them out if you are someone who's looking to maybe even change a field of expertise, and you want to have a change of pace in your life. Let's say you're burnt out at whatever position that you're in, and you want something relatively quick. Within a year, you can learn something new. Unitech is a great place to check out. Obviously, it's led and ran by a great family, great local family. And they also have the family chair, family child learning center. So if you're looking to bring your kids to a school, again, by the same people, same local family. I guess before we head out, Brandon, what is, I say Brandon, like your last name, Noah Brandon.
Look, that happens to me three times a week for my entire life. I'm good, man. Okay. I want to correct you. You're on a roll.
Cool. I want to know, whenever you're not at Unitech, what do you like to do outside of Unitech? What is some of your hobbies, your guilty pleasures? Where do you like to eat? Give us a little bit about you and on that front, and then we'll close out.
Well, I love spending time with my daughter. She has a lot going on, so you know, we're always bringing her back and forth, taking her to practice, doing this stuff. Well, you know, that's the season of the life that I'm in right now, but I like to just kind of zone out. I love to stream shows on all the platforms, so I've caught them. I like playing golf whenever I get a chance to, just be able to get out. Hanging with my friends, I've come to realize, is a it's become a necessary part of my reset. It's enjoyable. We have a lot of different groups that we're always blowing each other up on whenever we get a chance to go. You know, I'm traveling a little bit more just so I can not pour from an empty cup. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Not to be bogged down with all the stresses life have to offer. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. And so, you know, anytime I get a chance to really reflect on what makes me happy, what can I do? I enjoy that. Food-wise, yeah, I love the food. I'm really excited. BJ's Pizza's open again. I love that. Yeah. I always went there a lot in high school, and so the nostalgia hits big, and I'm really excited for that. Downtown, love the restaurants. You know, we go to Spoonbill, Vestal. You know, just having a night out is great. Love social. I can name drop all the restaurants. But, I mean, there are, we have so many good local places to eat. When people say support local, I'm all in on the restaurant component of that. You know, we have so much good food. And so, I would say that I'm pretty much an average Joe down here when it comes to that. You know, I mean, you know, I love going downtown. We're going to Cruda Kanai tonight, you know, just being able to, you know, we really, really, my girlfriend Alexa and I are really integrated into the community, you know, and we just like being in Lafayette. We love all the stuff that's going on down here. We're an advocate. We go to a lot of community events. We go try to support other people. I mean, we find joy in that. So, you know, and if I can incorporate my daughter in that, outstanding, you know, and that's probably a quick brain dump on just, you know, on that.
Oh, no, I love it. I know you're probably biased for the South Louisiana area, but is there any part of the country that you like to visit outside of this area?
Well, I would say that I'm trying to think specifically. I'm a big New Orleans person, obviously. I know that's not really.
But, I mean, it's still outside of Acadiana, so that's fair.
I'm a big New Orleans person. Obviously, we'll go to, we call it our Redneck Riviera, you know, the Orange Beach area, vacation. We'll definitely do that, which is fun. But I like traveling. I enjoy going to Vegas, I think, just because it's a fun place to go with your friends. And
yeah. I like Vegas too.
It's just something to do, you know. Yep. There's something to do all the time. We've been to Disney a few times, which I think I'm getting that capacity with that trip. But, you know, we do, we'll do a family trip every 4th of July.
Yeah.
And so that's when everybody gets together and we'll go and we'll just pick a new place and go. And it's fun to do that, travel to new places. And, you know, we've been to the Bahamas a few times, which is a nice little place. It's not really... It's about as Americanized a place as you can possibly get, you know, just to go there.
Especially with the port there with the cruise ships.
Yeah, it's easy to get to, you know, and so those little things where it's no more expensive to go there than it is
Orange Beach, I'm sure.
Other places, you know, it's just gotten so easy. So little things like that, it sounds a lot more exotic than it is, but it's fun, you know, again. So I like seeing new places, doing new things. So.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, Noah, I appreciate you coming on again and taking the time out. I know this, like I said, is the third time, and I enjoyed the conversation again. It's always nice to hear about the story, and I think it brings a lot of value for people that are listening to the story because, you know, they may be going through a similar situation and feel like their world is crumbling, but it's good to show an example of a rough start to now what seems like I don't want to call it a smooth finish, but because there's always bumps in the road, but it's definitely a lot less stress in your life.
We're blessed. And I can tell you, if anybody is going through a hard time and they're struggling, your kids are noticing the hard work you're putting in. Their kids are seeing what you're doing, what your sacrifices are. They're going to appreciate it. They're learning from it. You're raising, you know, invest in your children, even though it's hard. And again, I'm forever thankful for what my mom sacrificed and what she went through. The older I get, the more and more apparent it becomes to me how hard that must have been.
It's
worth it, and your kids will be better off because of it. And, you know, again, I'm very thankful for the work that she put in, and it's one of the things that drives me to try to be the best that I can be and help other people and help our students. I mean, we understand what they're going through if they're in a tough time. We've been there, and so it really drives how we run the organization.
Awesome. All right, Noah, that's all I got, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Ben, thank you.
All right, y'all guys, have a good one. We appreciate you listening and watching. Do share it. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Like the video. Do whatever you got to do to help us spread the podcast and get it to more people. So with that, we'll let you guys go. Y'all have a great weekend. And be safe during Mardi Gras. Don't park in a place where you shouldn't because you're going to get towed. So if you want to have a good weekend, don't drink and drive. If you do, that's your fault. And we'll see you on the next one. All right, y'all have a good one.